great to be reminded that God is faithful in the good times, but it's also, we need to be reminded that He's faithful in the hard times as well. We want to talk about that this morning, so will you have a seat? My name is Rick, and I get to be the lead pastor, and that's how I feel. I'm very privileged to be able to feel like that, and I'm excited about doing that, but yet at the same time, it's one of the biggest struggles that I have is every week to walk up here and to open God's Word and to be able to share that with you. And if you have ever wondered, how can you pray for me, that's how. If you could just pray that God will give me wisdom, that God would give me insight, and that that God would give our church His supernatural working here to allow us to see what He has for each one of us. Because it doesn't matter. We could have the best speaker possible in the entire world, but without the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives, nothing will happen. So that's how you can be praying. And we're in this teaching series called Reclaim. We're going through this study in 1 Peter. It's written by the Apostle Peter. It's a letter that he has written to some Christ followers who actually had to leave the Jerusalem and the surrounding area, and because of persecution, and so they went up into Asia. And so now he's writing to them there in Asia, and there's no doubt that Peter probably helped start some of these churches, some of these people. He knows them personally, and some he doesn't even know, because the people have been coming to faith in Christ. But there's this idea, the big idea that we want to see here today, that he is writing to them, is this idea right here, that God desires to reclaim us during our sufferings. And we're going to see that that's exactly what Peter is telling these guys that are going through some hard times. They're going through some difficult trials. They're feeling like they're marginalized in society because now they don't have the same status that they once had because of their faith. And so Peter is telling them that you're going to hit some trials. And this idea of being reclaimed, we want to see this morning in the Scriptures that He wants to repurpose us. He wants to redeem us through our suffering for His honor and for His glory. He wants to repurpose us through that suffering so that we can use it to deepen our faith. And so here's what happens so many times in church world. Churches can give off this perception that God, if you received a promotion, God really blessed you there. Or if, you got that raise, God blessed you with that. Or, if your health is really good, God has blessed you with good health. Or, your relationships are all going, up and to the right. God has really blessed you with great relationships. And sometimes what happens is that the opposite, people just automatically assume the opposite is true. Meaning when you don't get the job, when you don't get the promotion, when you don't get the raise, that God somehow hasn't blessed you. That when somehow your relationships here on earth go sideways, that somehow God hasn't blessed you. When you get the diagnosis, the poor health, when you have poor health for years, that somehow God hasn't blessed you. And what the Scriptures teaches is absolutely contrary to that. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that everything is going to go good and well for you just because you gave your life to Jesus. And that's why I like this idea right here, that we cannot define God's blessings as only the good things that happen to us. Because, you could not have gotten that job because God knew where the end result was going to be, and it was going to be a bad spot for you. So He didn't want you to get that job. Maybe you're depending too much in your finances and in your own ability to provide, and you're forgetting about that ultimately God provides everything, and so God's trying to teach you that you can't depend on your finances. And so he's taking you through. You're not getting that promotion. You're not getting that pay raise until you come to terms with that. Maybe you have poor health because this is going to put you into contact with people that you otherwise would never be put into contact with. And it's an opportunity for you to point them back to God. And so we cannot define God's blessings as only the good things that happen to us. And we see this right in 1 Peter. So go to your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6, and we're going to get as far as we can this morning. And let's jump right into verse number 6. Peter says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while." And I just like to, like, in my mind, when I read "a little while," I like just to visualize just a little bit. Like, it's like Peter's just saying, just a little bit, right? He's telling us that you and that I are, we're going to endure some trying times, but it's in the grand scheme of things. It's really just this. You know, even if you live to be 80 or 90 years old, in the grand scheme of eternity, that's just like a little blip on the timeline of eternity. I mean, you stop and think about that, right? You know, if we live that long, that it's just this little tiny dot on the timeline of eternity. And so he's trying to give them perspective that when we go through these trials, first thing we got to do is back up and we got to think about it, big picture. But he's saying that we can go into these trials with this wonderful joy, remembering what is ahead. That we can be glad about this. And here he's telling them, you're going to go, why are you shocked, basically, is what he's saying. He's writing this letter to real people that are going through some very tough times. He's like, why are you shocked about these trials? You shouldn't be shocked. In fact, here, I want you to take this perspective. The same perspective that James was writing in James chapter 1 when he said, count it all joy when you have trials, when you go through hard times. Count it as joy. This is the attitude he's calling us to. And so, as I was thinking about how do I illustrate this idea, because nobody in here is like, I can't wait until the next trial, right? You know, you're sitting on the edge of your seat. Oh, I just can't wait. But what if it was like this? You know, you hear me talk about my kids all the time. So here's my four kids, and this is a recent shot of them because it was my daughter's wedding, and it was a destination wedding, by the way. And if you ever want to talk about destination wedding, it was amazing. We can talk about that on the side later. But, you know, Ashley, she's the one who got married there in the middle. And then it's Ryan, he's my oldest son. He's got the sunglasses on his head because that's how he rolls. And then Katie Mae is just full of spit and fire. That's all I can say about her. And then you know Jonathan, he was just giving an announcement. So, but that's my four kids. But with all four of my kids, every time Zoe got pregnant, she would be like, Rick, come here, put your hand on my stomach and feel this. And I would be like, feel what? The baby, you know, they're moving. Ashley's moving. I'm like, what? And then I would put my, and I would be like, oh, no, I don't. And then as she continued to get bigger, then it's like when they move, it's like you can see the whole tummy go like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry I did that to you. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that. You know, I'm waiting for, yeah, I've seen too many movies. I'm waiting on an alien, you know, to come out of the stomach. That's what I'm serious. All four of them, it was like that. Zoe thought I was going to get used to it. I didn't get used to it ever. But then I was there with her for every one of them in the delivery room. Oh my gosh, pain! I mean, pain and suffering. That's all I could think of. Is I would watch my dear wife just, oh, you know, just how painful this was for her, and all that. I'm not even lying. It was all I could do to stand at the side of her bed. I was trying to be a good husband there. One time, the nurse finally took me out, and she was like, here's a bed for you, sir, and here to get some sleep. My wife is the one that's having the baby, you know. I just don't have a very good stomach for that kind of stuff. But every time, here's what would happen. You know, she would deliver that baby, and the doctors and nurses are there, and they would do their best to, you know, and sometimes they wouldn't even wipe off, you know, whichever baby it was, and they would just plop it on Zoe's belly right there, or on her chest. And then all of a sudden, I'd watch my wife transform from, oh, you know, and all this pain to, oh, my beautiful. You know, it was joy. There was a joy about that for her that just made the pain and the suffering disappear. And all this kind of came to culmination when we were in Cancun at this destination wedding. And I, as I just got to, for the first time, I think, in my kids' young adult years, that we just got to hang out with them and, you know, play with them. We would go to the beach and just hang out and play in the water. We'd have dinner every night together, go to shows together at night. And I'd watch my kids just interact one with the other and enjoy each other's company. And Zoe and I walked away from that, and we thought, isn't that awesome? Watching our kids just connect like that. It's not easy being a parent. You guys know it's not easy. It's trying. It's hard. I made a ton of mistakes along the way. But there was a joy about this day. And there's a joy that you and I can have as we work through the whatever trial it is. There is a joy that can be had in your life if we'll take this perspective that Peter's trying to tell us. He says these trials will show that your faith is genuine. When you hear the word genuine, don't think fake, don't think imitation, think purity. It's not that they don't have faith, but what it is saying is that it's going to make it more pure. These trials are going to purify your faith. It's going to deepen your faith. At least that's the purpose of them. It's to draw you closer to God. It's to have you grow deeper in your relationship with God. And then we know that because he says it, meaning your faith, is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. You know, they have that one of the processes to purify gold is the melting pot. When they turn the temperature up to 1900 degrees Fahrenheit and boil that gold to bring out the impurities. God brings life into us, and he turns up the temperature of life to bring out the impurities, to help our faith become even more pure, to deepen our faith in him. Is that what you are allowing your trials to do? Many of you here this morning know Kevin and Gail Cooper, and you know the trials. And some of you know the trial that they have had. You know, they have three kids. They have Aaron, Jackie, and Kendra. And all at one time, all of them were around here and grown up through our youth ministry here. And you know, Aaron, when he graduated, he went to Liberty University. And there, before Aaron could graduate, Aaron is on that whitewater rafting trip, just him and a buddy. And a terrible accident happened. And Aaron lost his life. But I want you to hear from Gail this morning about that trial in her life.
I got a phone call, and I was told that my son, he was rafting with a friend down the James River, and that his raft went through some rough waters, and he went under, and he never came back up. Well, that night, my family and I, we drove through the night to go to Virginia, and that was just one of the longest nights of my life. And I remember just clinging to my son's picture throughout the night and just saying, "Sweetie, Mama's coming. Just hang on, because Mama's going to be there." However, throughout the night, my girlfriend had called me, and she kept reading to me from the Word, and the words that she was reading to me was Psalm 91. And the words that really stuck to me, even to this day, or just close to my heart, was Psalm 91:14, and it says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. And when he calls out to me, I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will rescue him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation." And from there, my husband and I and the rest of our family, we went off to the sheriff's department, and the sheriff took us down this long dirt road to the river, and I can remember hearing every ping from every rock underneath the car, and I remember just getting so emotionally filled up and so
So just as this bit of emotion was rising up in front of me, that I just said to my brother-in-law, please just stop the car. Just stop the car. And he did, and he pulled over, and I got out of the car, and there was this field, and the grass was, you know, it was about this high, and I remember just walking out into this field, and the sun was just shining on me. It was bright and it was warm, and to be honest with you, I just got sick. I got sick, and I laid down in this grass, and I curled up in this fetal position, and to be honest, I didn't care if I ever got up again. I didn't care if the Lord called me home right then, because I just laid there saying, God, I cannot do this. I can't do what you're calling me to do. And I remember God just telling me, Gail, I know you can't. But I can. Those two words from the I Am gave me enough power and strength that just filled inside of my soul, that enabled me to get up and just head on to the river to be able to face what it was that I had to face when I got there. You know, when we pulled up to the river, there was rescue workers and dogs, and it was something that didn't look like my life. It was something more like, you know, out of a CSI show. Because when I just saw all these rescue workers, and I saw, you know, herd helicopter and all of these things, I just couldn't believe that this was going on. This was my life. This is what I was going to be facing, and my family. But there's one thing that I have to tell you, is that when I was on the river, the verse that just kept coming into my mind was the peace that surpasses understanding. And I got to tell you something, I heard that verse all my life, but I never truly understood that verse until I lived it. Because it is a peace that comes over you that is exceedingly greater than anything that you could ever, ever imagine in your life. You know, that first day looking for his body was really a long day, and I can remember just walking down the railroad tracks. I had to get away by myself, and it was a hot July day, and this breeze just came up and it swept over me, and I could feel my God say, Gail, will you just be still and know that I am God? And it was then that I just had to release this whole situation from him, from my hands. He pried it open and I gave it to him, and that honestly was the best thing I could have ever done. It freed me from trying and striving to releasing and receiving.
So did you hear what she said about when she went through that trial? That never before, she'd heard that verse, Philippians 4:7, all her life. But it wasn't until then that she really knew what it meant. That's what trials do in our life. It takes us to a whole new understanding of who God is and of his faithfulness. One of the most horrific things that could happen to a person, and yet to allow God to use it for his honor and his glory. And you know, God has allowed Gail to take that story all across New England and even in other states, sharing that story, different places, to be able to reach women for God's honor and for God's glory. And look what the Apostle Peter says here. He says, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. But look at, Peter doesn't let us forget, through many trials. For a family, for Kevin and Gail to have to go through the excruciating pain of losing a child, and some of you in this room have had experienced the same thing. But to have to go through that, you would think that there couldn't be another trial that could be put on somebody like that. And yet, many of you know that recently, just a few weeks ago, that Gail was diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 3, in aggressive form. And so as a church, we've been praying for her. You know, they've changed some of how they're going to be treating her. They went from 8 to 16 weeks now of chemo, and then there'll be surgery, and then it will be radiation after that. But she is even, I want you to hear her share. How is she able to walk through yet another major trial like this?
None of us ever want to believe that trials could show up in our lives again. We think that we have this one and done mentality, that if we have a God who truly loves us, that there's no way that he would ever allow us to go through difficulties after we have just endured another one. But as Pastor Rick said this morning in his message and in God's word, he tells us that we're going to have various trials. But what I love about our God is he also says that he'll be with us through them. I want you to take you back to that verse, Psalm 91:14, because that verse means so much to me, as it did on the river, as much as it does for me today. And God tells us in his word that if we hold fast to him, that he will deliver us. Now I know that some of you are probably saying, yeah, but can Gail hold on to that verse today? It might have helped her through what she's already experienced, but can it hold fast for her today, because now this is her life on the line? Can her God sustain her through all of this? And what I want to tell you today is yes, because the God who was with me on that river is the same God that is going to be walking through me with this. And he's going to come alongside of me. You know, I love the fact that we're talking about holding fast. And I want to tell you that I was a great example of that. And I did that so well. I grabbed a hold and I wasn't letting go. But honestly, that wasn't the truth. See, there were times after Aaron passed away, I started listening to the enemy. And he started filling me with lies. And he said, Gail, did God really say that he would protect your son all those years at school? Did he really say that he would help you now? Gail, you were going through some of the most deepest, darkest waters. And where was God when all of that happened? And so I started listening to these lies, and I started listening to these schemes. And what happened to me is I wasn't holding fast to God anymore. The rope that I had held on to, the hope that I had in Christ, slowly started loosening from my hands. And when I got to the end of that rope, I had let go, and what I found was not what I was looking for. I found more confusion. I fell into a pit of anxiety and even more grief, because I had let go of the promise that God would be with me, that he would deliver me, that he would rescue me. And I let the enemy steal that from me. But then God, in all of his righteousness and all of his mercy and all of his grace, he reached down and he grabbed a hold of me. I didn't deserve it. It wasn't because he thought, well, this girl's had enough, let me just come to her rescue. He came to me because he loved me. And he was so real, and it was so powerful in my life, that not only did I grab a hold of that rope that day, but I'm here to tell you that I clung to that rope. I grabbed a hold of it tooth and nail. I wrapped my legs and my arms around it. My teeth bit into it. And I haven't let go of that promise that God would still be with me today through this trial that I'm facing. I don't want to face what I'm facing. I don't want to go through chemo. I don't want to lose my hair. I don't want to see my family struggle. But one thing I know is the faithfulness of our God. And I know for a fact that if I hold on to him, then I'm going to get to the top of the rope and I'm going to see from the mountaintop a different picture. The trial that I'm facing now, I face it with a bit of excitement, and that might sound so dumb to your ears, but let me tell you something. Every time I'm able to meet with a doctor or someone in a practice, place of chemo, God has given me such peace about this whole situation that He has enabled me to almost look forward to being able to share Christ with others. And they kind of look at you like you have two heads because they don't get it. But then something inside of them all of a sudden just clicks. And they're like, wow, there's something so much bigger and so much grander than what we see. And I can see their wheels starting to turn. And it's not because of what I did or how I can react to this circumstance. It's because of who God is in my life. And it's because of the strength that I receive from Him, you know. So many people will say to me, oh man, woman, you are so strong. And I just want to laugh and say, no, if you knew me, I am not strong at all, but my God is. And my prayer for you today is this. Do you believe that He's making a way in the wilderness? Do you believe that He has something so much greater for you? Do you believe that He has purpose? Do you believe that He has come to reclaim your life for His glory? Because that's why we're here. And I'm standing here today to tell you that God is the God of all my days, my good days and my bad days. But I will never, ever let go of the lifeline that He has given to me, because I know it's on the other end and it's not pretty. But everything that we have in Him is beautiful and perfect and worthy to bring Him honor and praise with our lives.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Kevin and Gail happen to be in this service, and we want you to know that we love you guys, and we are praying for you, and that God is going to get you through this, and that more people are going to be able to come to Jesus because of your guys' story. So thank you for sharing it with us this morning in this way, and we love you. But that's exactly what He wants to happen. Look. He wants us. Peter says in verse 8, he says, you love Him even though you have never seen Him. It's possible to fall in deeper in love with Jesus going through these kinds of things. Because he tells us that, he says, though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. But this idea of going through these difficult times, Peter wants it to allow you to fall deeper in love with God. He doesn't want you to think that somehow that God is mad at you. This didn't happen to you because God's mad at you. Because a lot of times that's where we go. No, it's so that you'll fall deeper in love with Him and be able to trust Him. And look at this real quick. It says this salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation for you. Now, here they're talking about the Old Testament prophets. Here they're talking about these prophets who were talking about a time when the Messiah was going to come and He was going to show up and He was going to save the people from their sins. And as they prophesied about that, they were wondering, but when and where? And so Peter goes on to say in verse 11, they wondered at what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and His great glory afterward, the resurrection. Look at the response. Look at what Peter says. He says, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. What if the trial, the suffering that you're going through isn't even about you? What if it's for somebody else? What if it's because it opens a door for you to be able to share Jesus with them? So many times in churches, we get this wrong. We think church is for us. anywhere in the world you go, anywhere else that people live their lives outside of church, if we walked in and said, what do you have for me? What about me? We would say, that's kind of selfish. But in church world, we call that normal. But here, he's telling them, no, listen, man, this message, it wasn't for you. It's for somebody else. I wonder if you, if and I could live like that, understanding that the suffering, the pain, the hurt, it's for somebody else. And who are you going to tell about this? And then, bottom line is that God desires to reclaim us during our suffering. Will you let God do that in your life? Will you take out your connection card? On your connection card, the very first next step, it says this. Your connection cards are found inside your bulletin, so you can just pull those out. And it says, I am going through a trial and not allowing God to get the glory from it. Pray I will allow God to reclaim me during this suffering. My desire is that He will receive honor and glory through this process. What is it that you are facing, that you are so struggling with? You know, maybe you know, you're in that stage, that phase where you're just mad at God. God, why can you do this to me? Well, we want to pray for you, and we want to pray that, you know, and by the way, that is a normal phase to go through. You heard Gail say that she went through that phase. There was a period of time where Gail couldn't even show up to church. But she realized that living like that just made it worse. And now she's saying, don't go down that road. Will you learn from somebody else's experience? That's called wisdom. When you learn from other people's experiences, that's called wisdom. Will you receive wisdom this morning? And will you learn from that? And will you say, God, instead, let me give you honor. Show me how to do that. Will you open yourselves up for that? We want to pray for you. If this is true, we want to pray for you. And then you'll see the other next step on there. It says, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Redeemer. You know, that's where the whole reclaiming process even starts. It starts when you do this, when you say, I need to place my faith and trust in the person of Jesus Christ as Savior. I need to confess that I am a sinner and invite Jesus into my life. The reclaiming process starts in every one of our lives at that step right there. And if you're here this morning, and if that's where you're at, we want to pray for you. If you will leave your name and your phone number on there, we want to follow that up with a phone call so that we can just know just right where you're at and how to better be praying for you. Will you pray with me here this morning? Jesus, we come and we give our lives to you. We want to submit our lives to you. We want to ask that you would do a great work in all of our lives. For those of us who are going there are people in this room, Father, and you know it. They're in the thick of it right now. Jesus, will you please enable them to turn this into your honor, into your glory? Will you help them to fall deeper into love with you? May their faith grow deep like it never has before. May they understand Scripture like they never have before. And may they live their life differently, pointing others to you. And all along the way saying, God, you receive honor and glory. Help us to live like that. Please, God, in Jesus' name, amen.